This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You gotta check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki. Hello, here I am. It's Nikki. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast. How y'all doing? I'm sounding really congested today. I don't know what's going on. Maybe allergies, which is the cutest way to say allergies.
Allegories.
That's another way. Yeah, that's the story of the allergy. What is an allegory? I think you're going to tell one later.
It's a story about allergies.
It's a story about Al Gore. That sounds cute.
Yeah. What happened to him? He really came up for like a year and then you never heard from him.
I think he's probably still out there doing stuff. Yeah. I started watching Veep again. Speaking of Veeps, last night, Chris came over and we were like, what do we want to watch? We need a new show. We just finished Ultimatum, which I really recommend couples watching because you just like figure things out about your relationship based on whose side you're taking. And then you understand... You understand like how men would perceive something. It's just, it's a healthy way to get into arguments that doesn't have any, there's no stake in it because there's people you don't know.
You're like arguing through those people's dilemmas.
Yeah, kind of. And it just helps you see things their way. But we were trying to find what else to watch and we were going through so much stuff. I'm like, what about Don't Fuck with Cats? I was like, because I watched that with you and Cayman long enough ago and Chris had never seen it. And I was like, I know that's one that, like, it sounds like you don't want to see it because you hear about the cats dying scene or whatever. It's just too much. That documentary is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was dope.
It's like Tinder Swindler person made it. It is so... We watched it and we're like, why did it take us so long to watch this? So I want to watch that again. He was like, I don't know if I'm up for, you know, YouTube cat murder. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not. I just ate. So we... Then it was like West Side Story because we had both wanted to see the new one. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know, Ansel Elgort. I feel like he got canceled recently. Canceled Elgort is what I'm calling him.
Oh.
He did something weird that I don't even know. But I'm just like, I don't feel like looking at his face. And then
And then we were going to want, I forget. Anyway, we settled on, like we always do, we're like, do you want to start Veep again?
Now, when you start Veep, do you start season one, episode one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I've been watching Veep highlights recently just to celebrate, like when I can't sleep and stuff and how funny. Not to celebrate I can't sleep, but just like bask in how funny it is. And I feel like that's been cheating because I just am getting it's like every best line from Veep. And it literally is every line. It's just like watching the show because it's so
There's dead. No dead lines.
No.
There's no stopping. There's no so pausing.
It made me want to watch it because yesterday I listened to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, that podcast. I listened to the John Mulaney episode because on the Conan subreddit, people were like, oh my God, John Mulaney is so quick and so funny. And I'm like, I just got to bask in it, admire it, just like, you know, bow down. And I went and listened to it, and I was listening to it when I was running, and I could not listen. I had to stop listening because my body would get like limp, and I'd be like, oh, I can't get up this hill because I was laughing so hard. It's just so fun. And I was like, as soon as I listened to one segment of theirs, like I was in my own head being so much funnier, like quicker. And I was like, I need to listen to more of this stuff. It's like going to the gym for comedy. What you expose yourself to is what will make, at least for me, I get funnier when I watch funny things. I like start thinking in that kind of rhythm. I want to be it so bad that I find a way to like chameleon it. So I really recommend the latest podcast. I sent Noah a clip from it because there was a part where John was talking about having kids and with Conan, and they were describing what it's like. And he was saying, Conan said that when Andy Richter had had kids, before Conan had had his kids, Conan was like, what's it like? And Andy was like, it's like seeing the world in color. Like before you're seeing it in black and white, it's like in The Wizard of Oz when she steps out and it's like suddenly the world is color. That's what it's like. There's just a giant shift. And then John said, I just love it because you walk around with your baby and like you get to, it's like watching a movie that you really love with someone who hasn't seen it, and you get to see the movie again for the first time through their eyes. And then I sent the clip to Noah because she had said that that's why she wanted to have kids, was like, because I go, what's the reason to have kids? And it's like, oh, you get to like experience these things for the first time. He was like, I never liked trees or yards or the outdoors. I'm an indoorsman. Like he was like, now I'm like my baby. You can just watch this baby look at trees and be like, ah, like with wonder. I mean, I could do get
Chris
a baby
watching Veep or, with you. Your little baby.
Well, he's seen it before, but it'd be Don't Fuck With Cats.
Oh, yeah, or Don't Fuck With Cats. Yeah, you wanted someone to have a new experience.
I mean, it just sounded like, you know, hanging out with someone who's doing mushrooms, though, really, because that's what...
Yeah, babies on acid.
They just like, yes.
Imagine you're seeing everything for the first time in color,
literally.
So either
have a baby or just hang out with a friend who's doing acid in the park.
Yeah, and then just go to a fish concert and eat goo goo balls or whatever the hell they're called.
Goo goo balls?
Or goo balls.
I've never heard of that.
It's some kind of weed concoction. One time we were at a fish show, and this guy came up to us. He was all like on acid and stuff, and he's like, hey man, my friend just got beat up by the cops. Can you spare some money to help him get him out? And my buddy looked at him. He goes, have you ever thought about joining a fraternity? And the guy was like so fucked up that he couldn't. It was such a weird response that. Tell a guy that's like, oh, fuck, man.
Did he do it on purpose?
Yeah, he was an asshole.
Fuck with him?
Yeah, he fucked with a cat man on Google Balls. I don't know. It was fucked up, but it was very funny at the time because it's just such.
Throwing someone off so much.
Yeah, it was rude and mean, and I don't think we gave the guy money to help his friend get his friend out of, but. The kid joined the fraternity and he ended up becoming president. But it's just, have you ever done that to someone where it's like, I don't know.
I've never done that to someone, but I've misheard people and thought they said something really weird when I've had that moment of like, what did you just say to me? Where, one time we were going to Six Flags when I was a kid and it was raining really hard and it was probably 1995. So it was like after Jurassic Park had come out, that's kind of contextualizing it. And the kid that was at the gate that we like pied the tickets before we drove in, he said to my dad, welcome to Jurassic Park. And my dad thought he said, get your ass in the park. And I remember my dad being like, wait, what'd you say? Just like kind of like,
yeah.
Like he said it in a friendly way. So my dad wasn't like, but he was just surprised that he would say this when there's a bunch of kids in this car. And he goes, welcome to Jurassic Park. He goes, oh, I thought you said, get your ass in the park. And we thought that was the funniest damn thing ever.
Dude, that reminds me. I was on a cruise and the lady had an accent that was, she goes, do you want a cinnamon in a glass? Semen in a glass?
Semen in a glass.
No, we kept thinking she was saying silver in a glass, but it was a souvenir glass. I don't know. It's just one of those things. Yes. I was so silly for or you go to Moe's, you know, the taco place, and they go, "Welcome to Moe's," but it sounds like we're closed.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. Just another silly.
I thought someone used to say, at the Subway I went to. The guy one time said, "I walked in." And he goes, "I work at Subway," and I just go, "What?" And he goes, "Welcome to Subway." I go, "Oh, I thought you said I work at Subway. Like you have to announce it."
Dude, I worked at a cheese, you know, I worked in grilled cheese for a while in New York, and
grilled cheesing.
The manager they hired was this like very like flamboyant, loud guy who was trying to show that he was in charge.
Way of saying gay without saying gay.
I don't know if he was gay.
Oh, but flamboyant. Okay. Usually flamboyant connotates, but I'm just checking.
Yeah, I don't know if he was a gay. Or I mean, did I add an A in
there? A gay man? You could just throw man and then it sounds less inappropriate.
Yeah, a gay. I did not mean to say that.
Like that's like saying a black.
I know.
But if you say a black person, boom, you're okay.
Yes, it was not. That was a Floridian slip.
Sure.
So.
Is that a Freudian?
Yeah. That's not bad.
That's good.
Okay. Quick.
Slow.
Turtle rabbit. Yum. So, wait, so every time he's like, "I want you to be," I was the cashier, and he's like, he wanted me to do Welcome to Moe's kind of thing.
Oh, like the, you know, Stone Cold Cold Creamery, Stone Cold Steve Austin Creamery, where they have to like cheer and like, yes, clap when you like tip.
No one wants to do that.
The enthusiasm of like, "Welcome to Bob." Like,
it feels so fake and contrived. And I get it. Maybe it puts you, I don't think it puts the customer in a good mood. I feel like they're getting yelled at.
They say it to me at Starbucks sometimes. I know Starbucks partners out there.
What are they saying?
"Welcome to Starbucks." I don't hate it.
I think if you're on the other end, you've worked at a restaurant. I don't know. I'm so real. You know that about
me. Yeah, this was during your, you know, quiet and.
So it was like, "Welcome to the melt shop. Welcome to the melt." And it was like the opening. So there was thousands of people coming in. Like literally.
You'd say it so many times.
Dude, I was having panic attacks.
To say it?
No, when the line was so long as the cashier. You don't think a cashier would be a hard job. Like, but when there's a thousand, like literally like hundreds of people.
No, I believe it would be for you.
Such a hard job. And I kept looking at the line.
I kept trying to do an operating system that you don't understand.
Holy shit. New to New York.
How did you get a job there?
I knew the owner.
Okay.
This guy Spencer, same birthday as me. From Mount Clair, New Jersey, where we just were. Yeah. Yeah, he just gave me a job. I was sleeping on a couch for 6 months.
How did that end?
Poorly.
I had a panic attack,
and I just left. And I go, "I can't be here." The manager, a different manager who was even above that, had this like energy of like, "You're working 15, like just this like stuff that's not needed. Like you're adding to something that's already stressful."
Yeah.
So you're projecting your stress of like trying to like rein things in by like trying to control everything.
Yes.
And I just don't do well in that environment. I was just like, I can't be here right now. She goes, "If you leave, you're not coming back and you're fired."
And you were like, "Thank God."
I was like, okay. Could you have said that earlier? I was like, "I'm going out. I'm leaving."
What was so stressful about it?
My brain was just.
Yeah, you weren't going to do well in any.
I mean, I wouldn't have done well on a bench by myself with no line at that time.
That was your new job after that.
Well, I had a job.
What do you think you would have been good at? Like,
nothing.
I mean, like, besides comedy, if you could have, like, well, not any job that you enjoy, but what job would you be good at?
I'm a good coach.
Coach.
I'm good with, like, I'm not the head coach. I'm a good assistant coach.
Yes.
Okay.
Where I don't
have. It's hilarious to want to be an assistant coach.
Well, that's what I am on this show.
Yeah. I guess that's true. But, like, but you have your own team over. You have your own team downstairs.
No, I know. I look.
Where Brenna's the assistant coach. You know, like, you have aspirations to be a head coach in this world.
I do. As long as the head coach doesn't have a big team.
I was just talking about this to Chris last night, where we were talking about I'm hiring these like interior organizers to like organize my life, and I'm just stressed out about like. We got into kind of an not an argument, but a disagreement. Like we got into like just a stalemate of like we both weren't feeling each other because he had set up like he had organized these people to come in. He had called them. I met them here, but he was here when they met. Like he did everything to get these women to come into my life and organize my house. And they're like the two women like from The Home Edit, if you watch that Netflix show. They're like build you shelves and they do everything.
Wow.
And my thought was that when Chris brought this up, I was like, yes, please. And like they would just do everything and I wouldn't have to do anything.
That's not the case.
But
I guarantee it.
Once Chris called me with like, okay, I talked to them about like they, you know, surveyed everything and then they gave a quote. It was a lot more expensive than I thought it was going to be, and which is fine. And I think I've talked about this before, but he goes, and they'll come in, like, let's find 3 days when you're in town. He gave me 3 days, and I go, I'm in town those 3 days. I want them to do it when I'm not in town. He's like, well, you have to be there. And I was like, but then I don't want them to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, okay, then I'm just going to hire my friend to do it because I can just leave, even though it won't be as good, I can just leave her, and she won't be, like, mad at me. She'll just be like, oh, that's Nikki. She doesn't want to, like, deal with this. And
you want like a home improvement situation where the family leaves and the bus moves and it's done.
That I don't even know what's happening. It's a surprise.
You should just get on HGTV and have them do it for you.
I know. It would be pretty awesome to do that because I feel like I could do on the Home Edit, like the celebrity edition of this kind of thing. I would have no problem having cameras come in, but I do feel like I'd have to be there for that even. And I don't want to be there for it. And he was like, and so then he told me, pick 3 days when you're in town. And I was like, I can't, I don't want to be there for it. He's like, well, you have to be there for some of it. So then he goes, okay, so I got it. So like, why don't you just make it so it's, they work 2 days when you're not there, but the first day you're there so you can kind of just direct them. And so he took the original thing that was way too much for me and he whittled it down to like, just work them with them for like 3 hours one day. And what he didn't know was that that was also too much, but I felt like he's already done me this huge favor of negotiating,
organizing
that,
the organizers,
that he doesn't have to, that Nikki is a little bit weird. And so now he's, because I'm always someone who's like, I don't like to be a burden. I don't like my anxieties and my weird things to like make people like, I don't know. I just felt bad that like he already was like called them back and was like, can she be there for like just one day instead? And you guys can be there alone the rest of the days. And but what he didn't, so I, as soon as he said 3 hours, in my head, he's thinking, I got it down to 3 hours. That's nothing. She can do that.
That's
and in my head,
much.
I go, "That's." I thought it was zero. It's zero or nothing. I don't want to be involved. I will put the things in the room that I want in there. I'll put each item, I'll throw it in the room, and then they organize it, and I leave.
There
like, I don't want to go through each thing and hold up a shirt and be like, yes, no. Oh, what's, because I don't care about shoe. I have no preference. There's, if you go, Nikki, what would you like your closet to look like? I have no starting point to give you. I don't have any, you know, this is, and
I feel
Chris,
this so
Chris
much.
Was like,
I just
want
to put
this?
Myself out there, Nikki. If I know you so well, if you want me to come to St. Louis and be there with these people, I can totally do it. I loved cleaning my friend's house.
Well, I have so many friends
feel so good.
Like you.
I'm like
that
Nikki.
Are willing to do that. But Chris was like, it's okay that you don't. And I go, that's because he was upset that he had done all this work to get these women. And then I go, I'm just going to have my friend do it. He didn't know my inner panic of like, I can't even do 3 hours because I felt bad saying to him, I can't do 3 hours, because he'd be like, well, who do you think you are that you can just not talk to people that are working on your house? Like, you have to be pleasant and let them in and say hi, you know, like, and that's all the things I'm projecting onto him, thinking about me, thinking I'm like too big time to like even talk to like people.
But
I've
that's
hired
not
to work.
The case.
But the thing is, I don't like to talk. I have anxiety about talking to people. And like if a maintenance man comes over, I don't want to be here for it. If someone comes over to fix the studio, I don't want to be here for it. I don't like, because I feel like I have to be like, do you want some water? What about the, do you want these cords over here? I don't know. I don't care. I have no preference. There are a lot of women listening to this podcast. And Chris is like, why do you have so much shame about not wanting to be involved in this? And I'm like, why do you think? Because every single woman I know, Noah, every woman I know, men, that I there's most men I know too love organization. I do not know a single woman who doesn't have a cleaner room than me, who doesn't like to decorate, who doesn't like to pick out wallpapers, who doesn't like to pick out paint colors, who doesn't like to pick out couches. I don't like any of that, and it makes me feel like I'm not a woman. It makes me feel the way men feel when they are emotional. It makes them feel a little gay, like you might be feminine.
You feel
which
dirty.
Is like the worst thing to be as a man, mm-hmm. is feminine. That's how I was like trying to get Chris to understand. The way it feels for you to get really emotional and to say your feelings is the way I feel mm-hmm. when I'm forced to do something home repair-y that's supposed to just be like this natural thing for me to have. You know, whenever I design a set for my specials, they're like, so what do you want the background to look like? That, every male comic I talk to goes, oh, I never like weigh in on that. I don't care. And for some reason, women are expected to have some sort of like opinion when it comes to style and what they like and what they don't like when it comes to aesthetic stuff. And I am not a woman that cares about that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know. He goes, just what, like, what's a color you like? I'm like, I don't care about anything. I don't care about shelves. I don't want to learn about shelves. I have no curiosity about shelves. I'm not scared of shelves. I don't care. But you know what I'm scared of is not being a good woman, and I don't want to face it.
Well, here's the thing. I think you come from the same, like, I'm very similar to you in the sense of these organizers, you've done this a million times. Your vision is better than
it's
what
better
my
than
vision.
Anything I might be like, well, I kind of like to reach for my shoes at a 2-foot
yes.
angle.
So why is it not nice to go, I trust your vision. You do you. I'm going to like it. I promise you.
Because it's, for me, it would be better if I gave them, I do have some opinions. I'm just scared to get into it. And I have this anxiety about any new people, like, and it's usually people I'm hiring to work for me that are like contractors. Like when it comes to like, oh, my sister's friends are coming tonight. They're in town. No anxiety.
Yeah.
About meeting people. For some reason, like people who are working for me, I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to get to know them. I want them to do everything when I'm not there because I'm embarrassed of my space. I'm embarrassed of my taste. I want their judgment to be happening when I'm not in the other room. And a lot of times, the plumber comes to fix the toilet or like whatever it is.
Yeah.
I go in the other room. I go, oh, it's just in there. And I direct him. And it seems rude. And I don't know where it comes from, but I know now, like through talking to Chris last night.
It comes from your mom.
Like, Nikki, you don't even know what you like. I heard that so much as a child. We would go out shopping and she'd be like, do you like these jeans? And I go, I don't know. And she goes, you don't even know what you like. You don't even have an opinion about anything taste-wise. I don't like cooking. I don't have any interest in like, ooh, baking things or meal prep or when girls are like, oh my God, we got new cabinets. I'm dead. I'm so excited. We're building this house from scratch. I can't feel more removed from my fellow human than that. And I feel, and Chris goes, why do you want to like things that you don't like? I don't understand. And I go, but like, don't you ever feel like, man, I wish I liked
of course
doing that thing.
And I wish I liked reading like bigger books. I wish I liked, I don't know, being more organized. I wish I all these things. Yeah, of course. People have this all the time where they feel self-doubt about things and
I go, but what about like when you weren't as tall as you wanted to be? Didn't you like resent people that were like tall? And he's like, I mean, yeah, but I just also reason like I'm one of the luckiest people that's ever been born in humanity, in the history of the world. Like the life that I have makes mm-hmm. me in the top 0.00000001% of all humans dating back forever. So like, yeah, if I was a little taller, it'd be great. Whereas for me, not being as pretty as my sister was like, God had smited me and like was like,
there's something wrong
with me. And I wanted to die because of it. I was like, I shouldn't even be alive because I'm not, if you're not the best at something, which brings me back to, I never understood people who didn't want to be famous. Yeah. I couldn't believe everyone in my class when we were little, like sixth grade or whatever. What do you want to be when you grow up? Not everyone didn't want to go actress. Why would you not want that? Everyone loves you. You're beautiful. You're on TV. Everyone knows you.
Because
what is
I think
that?
Even our generation, you needed a profession. Like that was told early on. You needed to be some kind of.
No, nope.
Being an actress was crazy. That's what I was told. The idea of me being an actor. My dad told me when I wanted to be a comedian, I want to play third base for the Yankees. It's not a realistic thing
for
most kids.
But that's what I'm saying. A kid's dream, though. Kids are always saying astronaut, ballerina,
yes.
marine biologist, like veterinarian, like these things.
Those are still real jobs that comparatively.
No, astronaut is not a real job.
I'm still thinking about doing it.
There's more astronauts, or there's more actors, for sure. So there's.
Well, nowadays, everyone wants to be famous.
I'm not talking about people. I do not understand, though. I'm so grateful no one wants to be famous because it lowers the competition.
Well, now everyone wants to be.
But no, they don't. I mean, I really thought my parents were going to be like so excited to be on a TV show. Like I was giving this gift to them.
No, I'm talking about kids now. They want to be like viral TikTok kind of famous. Well, but anyways,
I couldn't believe my parents were like, we don't really want to do this. I'm like, but you raised me. And so I understand why Chris doesn't want to do it. He grew up a different way, but like, but you guys are my blood. Like we think the same. How would you not want to be famous? But it's because they feel good enough about themselves. They don't need adoration from strangers. But I need more adoration from you guys, and we'll get some when we come back from this break.
Well, this assistant coach is going to help you.
Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Have you ever seen a girl with a perfect wardrobe and everything just looks like clean and put together and you know she's not rich and you're like, how is this happening? I swear to God, this bitch knows about Quince. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. I'm talking 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, washable silk tops, and timeless 14 karat gold jewelry. Did you hear me say washable silk tops? Yes, washable. I have a silk dress from them and I did wash it and it still looks great. It is such like a cute piece that I will have forever that just matches with everything. Add some Quince pieces to your wardrobe to just elevate the whole thing. People will think you shop in France. I know you're thinking, well, Nikki, why is Quince so cheap? There's always a reason. Well, it's because they directly partner with top factories. They cut out the middleman and they pass the savings on to you. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're like me and you struggle with FOMO and also FOGO, which is fear of going out, then you might need therapy because it has really helped me to talk to a therapist about my social anxiety and how that manifests for me. It looks different than other people. I just feel guilty all the time if I don't do things and then I dread doing them. But it's something that I've learned to accept and just embrace about myself and to forgive myself and to like myself about it. If you are also on a journey to appreciating yourself and accepting yourself, can I recommend therapy? It is so helpful to talk to someone who is not going to judge you, who has heard it all. BetterHelp is the way to start because it's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a brief questionnaire and then you get matched with a licensed therapist. And if you don't like them and it doesn't go well, you just switch. You don't even have to like talk to them about it. That's the beauty of BetterHelp. It is for people with social anxiety. So if you struggle with social anxiety, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy, reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Noah, what would you be if you weren't a radio show producer?
I think if I had the brain for it, and this is just because of something that happened recently, I just want to be a veterinarian.
I love that. Because you also, when Bruno died, I know that you were like really taken aback by how amazing vets were to you. Like, I could tell you were like kind of blown away by your vet during that process. You had it again with Buzzy.
Right. So I had like such like a gentle experience with someone who had, you know, skills and knowledge that I don't have, and resources that I don't have. And I was like helped without even asking for help. So that just like, it definitely opened me up to understanding that people who have skills that I don't, they could do so much with it. And maybe I need to look inward and do something with what I have to offer. But I still haven't like signed up for any volunteer work or anything like that.
Right. Like, what can you do to help the world with?
The nice thing about volunteer work is like, or
tell
anything.
Tell us about it.
Well, I've never done it. And I don't know if you have either.
What would be nice I do lots of service work, mister.
Just for me.
I don't talk about it all because you can't. Because you do it because you're not trying to get attention for it.
All right.
So, but now I
do too, but I can't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. You're going to go to hell if you're lying about that right now.
What? I don't believe in hell.
Okay, well, you're gonna stay on the third floor of this apartment building.
All right, I'll rather go to hell. It's loud down there. I don't think hell's probably pretty quiet.
Hell is loud. Screaming.
Fire.
The devil laughing.
No, I was just going to say, though, we got in the comedy, the barrier of entry is easy. Like, but then barrier of entry? Isn't that a word?
I've never heard of that phrase, but I'm guessing.
Is that a phrase?
Barrier of entry?
Yeah.
I thought you were saying barrier of entry.
Oh, no. Jurassic Park, huh? Ham trips.
So do you mean the how to get in?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't like have to like get a degree.
You don't have to get a degree. You don't have to go to school for 7 years.
You don't have to like interview to get it. Yes.
But then you think it's an easy entry, but it's obviously not. Then it takes about 8 years to get good at it and to actually succeed and make money at it. It fools you. Look, volunteer work, you can just sign up and do it. But to be good at it, maybe it takes a little bit of time. I'm just saying, like, I like things like the idea of being a veterinarian, the idea of being a doctor, the idea of being a lawyer, the schooling, the applying, all that shit.
Too much.
Frozen, paralyzed, can't do. So if you were going to do something that didn't take, like, you could take that out of the equation of like, oh, I could just be it.
See, I would like those
things.
See,
that's a different thing.
I would like those things of like, there's something appealing about getting my master's and then being like, okay, there's like a process, then there's a test you take, and then you write a dissertation, and then you get a good enough, like, that you have these bars. Because with comedy, it is so fluid, and it's just like, there's no actual, like, there's like, oh, okay, I did a late night set. Oh,
yes.
Boom, got it done. Okay, I got a TV show. Boom, go, got it done. But like, I like having benchmarks of like, you got through these things. So I think that would appeal to me. But what do you mean? Like, what's another thing? Like an Uber driver? Like the best Uber driver?
No, I'm just saying, I think there's things that we don't do because obviously there takes, in like being a veterinarian, you can't just be like, hey, I'm just going to.
You could.
Just
gonna waltz in here and be a veteran.
Yeah, you can't waltz. You can't waltz.
Yes, you could. You could just sign up for school. It's not free.
It's not free. You have to apply. You can't just go to be like, you got to probably pass boards to go to veterinary school.
I was thinking of going back to school, you know, like now as an adult, because I feel like, okay, I could definitely sit myself down and do homework and study. But just thinking about the whole application process and loans and all of that, I'm just like, forget it. Next year.
I know.
That dog will find someone else.
I don't know. When Kim Kardashian passed the baby bar, I got like jealous. because I could see like her studying and her having this like accomplishment like that she was so proud of. I was like, I want to do something. Like, I want to get back
bar.
To school.
You'd be good at the baby bar.
Yeah.
I think I would be a good lawyer.
I think you would.
But I have no interest in it.
Yeah.
Even though that would be a good thing to give back. I mean, a lot of people get into law to be good people and to help, you know, pro bono.
Keep going. I was waiting.
Immigration law, family law, stuff like that.
I saw Bono perform.
Objection.
Performed in Kiev in Ukraine for free at like a bar. Did I say it wrong? Kevin?
Kevin Ukraine.
They say Kiev.
Is it Kievler?
Kiev. Kiev Schreiber?
My friend's mom worked at Kiev's Bakery on King's Highway, so that's how we used to say it.
Oh.
On King's Highway?
I thought it could have been Kiev.
Wait, that's in St. Louis.
Kiev?
Oh, really? Kiev. In Brooklyn, too?
Yeah, we live close to King's Highway. Very close. Do you know the McCloskeys, those people, the gun-toting McCloskeys? You know, the ones that, during the Black Lives Matter protest in St. Louis, those two old people on the front
porch?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. That house is like, you could, I mean, BB gun distance from our apartment complex.
I mean, there's homes
it's
that are
crazy
gigantic
to see
here that and are right in the public.
I just saw on St. Louis Reddit yesterday, someone took a picture of one of the McCloskeys' cars, and it's decked out in like an American flag, like wrapped up in it. And there's a picture of him because he's a senator, so state senator, so state representative, something. And there's a picture of it. It's like McCloskey, state rep. And it's him on his porch looking scared with the gun. It's the picture. And he's like proud of it now. It's now a branding when it should be this shameful thing. It made me sick. I hate those people. I hate our neighbors.
Yeah. I mean, what house is across from Straub's?
That's
it?
Across it's King's Highway?
It's lit up all the time.
It's McCloskey's.
Oh, my God.
That big, like, gray thing across King's Highway? Yeah, McCloskey's. I didn't know until I was walking Luigi, and there were these two tourists that were taking a picture, and she was like, get it in the background. And I go, what? What is that? And they go, oh, McCloskey's. And I was like, what? Yeah. I live a block away from these fucking... Oh, God.
But they lean into it. Company. They lean into it. They get positive reinforcement.
McCloskey Factory.
They go to their fucking country club and everyone's like, oh, there's the McCloskey. Bang, bang. Bang, bang. And they're like, yeah, drinks on me. Bang, bang.
Can you imagine being proud of trying to shoot at a Black Lives Matter protest and looking like little pussies on your front porch because a bunch of kids are just fighting for people to have equal rights? You losers. Protecting your stupid stone house that looks like a above ground grave. It looks like a tomb.
Mausoleum.
Yeah, it did. I hate them with their and that woman's like holding the gun all wrong with frizzy hair. She looks like she just like got done feeding her parrots. No offense to parrot owners. I'm going to be one someday, but she just looked being proud of that. Yuck.
Well,
I hate anyone who likes those people. Stop listening to the podcast. I hate you.
Yeah, all the McCloskeys out there.
I just hate these people that have like their trucks wrapped in like pictures of like a shirtless Trump on like the cross. Are you being ironic?
I wish. I wish they had a sense of humor.
What is wrong with you?
I don't know. The idea of idolizing anybody like that is just
your
wild.
Dad did, but that was before you.
That was before
president.
He became president. Actually, my dad. In my dad, I.
Dad's defense.
Dad's defense. DD's, as his lawyer, pro bono, no money, Dad, although I better still be in the will. You're going to hell if I'm not. It's quiet. It's hot. My dad hates Trump post-president.
Oh, that's good.
So.
I mean, I'm not supposed to, like, you're not supposed to meet hate with hate, but man, it's hard. I'm sorry for your
Trump's
whatever
back
brain
on Twitter.
Problem
Did
you
see
have.
That?
Elon, of course, because Elon...
Elon gets it.
Of course, that's what's going to happen. It's going to be the worst thing possible. He's going to win because of Elon Musk.
Do you think taking him off initially was
actually
bad?
He's
going to
win anyway. Because, by the way, it doesn't matter if Trump wins or loses. He still thinks he won the last election. He's going to win this one, too, in his own mind. And this time, his supporters are not going to really put up with him not winning.
Do you think taking him off the first time probably was bad?
No, it was great. He went away. We didn't talk about him every day. He went away. It was great. He's going to, but no matter what, he's going to quote unquote win.
Jack.
Start looking
into. You know Jack from Twitter?
Yeah.
You know, Tom's friend?
Yeah.
From MySpace.
What did he say?
They all have one name. Jack, Tom.
Mark.
Mark.
They're Mark!
All like, oh God, they're all like one syllable dickhead names.
What did Jack
say? He regrets taking Trump off, because I think what it does is it makes him more powerful, obviously, if he comes back, in a way.
Oh, if he comes back.
Yeah. It's going to be like, holy shit. Like, it's going to be, his first tweet is going to get 80 million likes because he was taken away.
It's going to be so upsetting. It's
publicity.
And Trump is claiming that he's not coming back. He's going to stay on, I don't even know what his is called. I think it's called Frumpy Dick or something.
Frumpy Dicker.
Yeah, so.
Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
It's Wednesday, folks. You know what that means? It is Wednesday. Hope you're having all the swells out there, unless you're the McCloskeys. I hope you shoot yourself. But
in the foot.
Yeah, but leave the door open so we can come in and check out your big screen. All right.
Your big screen.
All right. Well, speaking of not having self-awareness, a South African pastor is given a lot of heat online after filming himself proposing to a grieving woman in the middle of her father's funeral, just mere feet from the deceased's coffin. Critics accused the man of making the somber occasion about himself.
I love it.
Is this a cultural thing, though? Again, we're talking about these like funerals in other countries.
Like a Peru thing?
Like, I'm not trying to be like a dumb American who thinks anything outside of our country is like, that's just the way they do it.
I mean, but I don't know if this is cultural. I mean, it seems,
is there a video?
There is a video.
Did she say yes?
So apparently she
was it on the Jumbotron?
She seems to have accepted. And
this is a religious thing. He's like, he was a pastor, so he has a God complex. He can do whatever he wants. He probably thought he was like.
Do you think he had a thing with the dad, like an argument with the dad, like, oh, you're dead now. Now I'm taking over.
No, I bet it was like, this is your dad's wish.
Oh.
You know, this is all just.
Yeah. He ordered that guy from Springer.
I don't know.
Springer,
these are all kind of connected to like God and like religion and how weird it can be.
Here's what he said, because you're kind of close. He thanked God for being in his girlfriend's life during this difficult time. And he hoped that his proposal would help her come to terms with her father's passing.
Yeah, okay. Wait, I thought so they were girlfriend and boyfriend. This wasn't out of the blue.
They were in a relationship. Just proposed to her at her father's funeral.
Okay, that changes it for me. I thought it was just like some pastor that was like, I want this young girl to be my bride now.
Oh,
that
would be so weird.
Oh, yeah, that's a way
that's
way
even
different.
Weirder.
Wait, read this headline again. There was no indication that they were together before this.
Oh, well.
I guess that's true. Yeah. Was I wrong?
We both heard clickbait. It different.
Yeah. No. That's why I thought it was a cultural thing of like, oh, we just worship the pastor in our community.
I love that. He picks the hottest girl whose dad just died.
I really did think that. I get that. People are always trying to, they don't know how to handle grief or like their person they care about suffering, and they're just trying to make it stop by like distraction. So he probably thought it was a good way.
Oh, it's just not fair. I mean, if I was a woman, I'd be so pissed to be put on the
spot. I honestly would like it.
Why?
Because let's just be honest, like if I was dating someone,
yeah,
and I was kind of waiting, we were at that point where it was like kind of waiting for this proposal.
For your dad to die.
Yeah, we're waiting for my dad to die so that we could take a dip in that pool whenever we want.
Oh, yeah.
Even
during the winter, take the thing off.
Yeah, take the
heat it up.
Yeah, get that tarp of leaves out of there. Scoop out the dead frogs and take a little dipsy noodle. Okay, I think that I would like something. I am someone who, when I'm in pain, I want something to distract me from it. Okay. I don't want to feel it. I don't want to like mourn my dad's loss. I don't want to focus on it. I want something to get me out of this. Something to lift my, something to make me feel like there's a future after my dad dies.
Okay. That's
something
nice.
That's like, okay, this is a huge life change, but here's another big change. So you can kind of pivot. And not that it's the healthiest thing, but I think I would like that. I mean, I was crying in couples therapy yesterday about like, my dad's going to die someday. And like, I want a partner who fulfills some of the things I get from my dad, which is a weird thing to say of like, you know, like I want my husband to be like my dad.
Yeah.
But
yep.
I just want my husband is what I was saying to love me as much as my dad loves me. That unconditional, like, you know, dad love. And my therapist was like, well, that's, you know. That's
agape love.
What?
It's called agape.
Yeah, like that it's just you can't help but love whatever mm-hmm. you like spawn, you're gonna love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's hard to do that with someone who you didn't spawn. Like, I don't want, you know, my boyfriend or my husband to, like, I'm not like sexualizing that love. It's just like the kind of like thinks I hung the moon love. My dad like thinks I'm the greatest thing that has ever happened to the world. Everything I do is amazing. My what? Mom does not as much. My mom was on Instagram Live the other night, right when you were on stage. I went on yeah. Instagram Live to tell people to watch the reality show. And I go, Mom, I'm about to go on stage. Any requests for jokes? Literally any joke you can think of that I've ever done. She couldn't think of one joke. Yeah. She's watched my act a million times. Was I hurt by that? No. If my dad said that, I would be shocked. Because my dad is someone who like watches literally everything I do, which is not what I want in a partner, but I just want someone to like, you know, I crave like someone just being like, God, I just love watching you shine, that kind of thing, which Chris does. It's just like, I was just kind of having a freak out recently about like my dad dying and like, what the fuck is the point of me living if my dad dies? Because I do everything so that he'll be like, you were so goddamn good on that.
Yeah.
That just feels so good. I don't want him to listen to every podcast. I don't even tell my dad when I'm on things. He gets so mad. He's like, you were on Kelly Clarkson? You didn't tell us? Like, he gets so upset. So it's not like I'm like, Daddy, look what I did. But when I do hear feedback from him of like, that song was so goddamn good.
Yeah.
There's something about it that makes me, and I know a lot of people don't have that in their lives. Their parents fucking suck or like they never, and I feel sad that I feel embarrassed that I need it so much.
Look. You know how many awnings your name sold for him? Yeah, it's even. Yeah, that's a shot, EJ. Come at me, bitch.
I don't think he watches the podcast or listens. He might. Who knows? Come at me, bitch. All right. So, yeah, Chris proposed to me on my dad's funeral, if you're listening.
But it's religious. In a different country.
Go train to be a pastor. Okay, yes.
Ready for the next one?
Boom, boom, boom.
Cheating and infidelity create attachment ambivalence, which means mixed or contradictory feelings about the other person. Duh. So when a deep and healthfully dependent connection is unexpectedly damaged, you are traumatized. A trauma specialist says, terror increases the need for attachment, even if the source of comfort is also the source of the terror. Many betrayed partners find themselves in an emotional war with themselves. They look at their cheating partner and think, I love you, but I hate you. I need you close, but I can't stand to be in the same room as you.
Oh,
thoughts
wow.
Thoughts like that.
I was reading on Reddit last night, actually, about someone that was like, how do you not cheat on your wife or girlfriend? Like, as a man, like, it was on Too Afraid to Ask, and it was like, I want to fuck other people. What do I, but I love this. How do you do it? And every response was like, you just jerk off if you want to do it. And then you have post-nut clarity. There was nothing about like, man, that feeling will go away if you love your woman enough. It was all like, this is a feeling you will struggle with the rest of your life. Always consider, is the emotional hurt I'm causing someone I love going to be worth this putting my dick in this? Like that, it was all like coping strategies that don't have anything to do with like, well, you need to make your relationship stronger. It's like, it's not about that. It's like, about
have
like,
you
just
thought about fucking an animal?
Yes.
Like, just
yes.
Don't fuck a human. Fuck a goat.
No,
and then everything's
don't do
cool.
That to animals.
Huh?
Yeah, please don't do
fucking. No, animals. Like, wear a condom.
Yeah.
No, not going there.
Make sure you're in an.
Just don't do it at their dad's funeral.
An open barn relationship.
An open bar.
Yeah, I loved it because there was nothing being soft about like, your wife is someone that you'll just naturally feel. It was someone who was asking the question who wasn't married, but was like, I would like to be married someday. How the fuck am I going to want to not fuck anyone else? And they were like, no, that will never go away.
And this is saying even after the fact. After it happens, you still love them. You still want to be with them while you hate them tremendously.
Well, that's what they said was in this thing that I'm hearing there is the emotional trauma it causes someone that you cheat on is so much worse. It is almost unrepairable. And in a lot of ways, like, you know, Esther Perel always says, you will never have the relationship that you had before this after infidelity. Cheating, yeah. You have to start a new relationship. This new relationship is one in which you were cheated on, and like it can be a different, but it's not, you will never have back the relationship you had before the infidelity, which is maybe not a bad thing because more, you know, honest, there's more honesty in this new relationship, but you can't live in a world where that didn't happen ever again. Like, and that's what the people in the Reddit thing were referencing of like, know that this isn't just you getting your dick wet one time.
Yes.
If you get caught, there will be reverberations throughout the rest of your life, and you will cause someone you love so much emotional damage that you cannot predict or understand.
And it's not the action, it's the trust aspect. It's both, but
yeah.
I like the, I think Drew Michael had the bit about like, oh no, I cheated. It was just, it just happened. And it's like, here's the 40 ways it had, like you met at the bar, you talked to him, you did this. There's like 15, 20 things that led to it.
There's something about I was drunk that makes me feel a lot better
yeah.
if someone cheats. Because as someone who was drunk, I did a lot of things I do not stand by. I didn't really want to do. It wasn't like, oh, this is my secret desire yeah. to tell this person I love them or to get on top of that car and dance. Like all the things I've done to jump that fence with flip-flops and break my heel. These aren't things that I was like, I would love to do them. I can't wait. I just need to get drunk. I was an idiot. I'm stupid when you're drunk. So there's something about being drunk that I truly, you know, when my ex-boyfriend made out with a girl when he was drunk and said, I thought it was you. I knew he did. That wasn't an excuse. Like, he got so dumb when he drank. Like, he was just, he wouldn't make sense.
Did you see this girl? Did she look like you at all?
She had blonde hair, and it was yeah. in a setting that we always hung out. Like, he yeah. just was missing me. And, like, I know people are like, oh, yeah, right, Nikki, you're so gullible. No, this guy was
yeah,
literally mentally, I don't know if you can say the word retarded, but he would be on par with someone with he would be a mentally disabled person sometimes when he drank. It was so scary. So when he was like, I thought it was you, I just was like, I know you did. Like,
yeah, some people, you know, people get drunk
because she had a cold sore.
Oh.
That's why I was mad. I was like, we've seen that girl before and she had an active cold sore. What the fuck were you doing? That was what made me mad.
Gotcha.
I really didn't care.
The whole like, you say you're honest when you're drunk. Like, there's a lot of things with, like, people will, like, hold you accountable even more so because yes. that's who you really are.
Yes.
Dude, there's times where I'm fucked up. I'm not that person.
I'm not honest at all when I'm drunk. I would always say the opposite, actually, of what I meant. Like, I would yeah. always tell girls, I love you. Oh, my God, I want to be friends. Like, I would always in the morning, I'd go, why did I say the opposite of what I meant to that person? And it's because I drunk. There are times, though, when you have, like, a secret that you're, like, you want to tell someone and you need to, and you need that liquid courage, quote, unquote. Alcohol makes you dumb, so everything that's telling you, don't say this, this isn't the right thing to do, that goes away, and then you do the dumb thing. So there are times where you do speak the truth because the stuff yes. that's keeping you from saying the truth falls away because you're stupid or when you drink. But for me, it would always make me say that, do the opposite.
So it's so weird to, like, if you got caught cheating and you were hammered and, like, you don't even remember the fuck. Like, it's just like a, you know, if you're blacked out and yeah. you cheat.
Yes.
And it ruins your whole life. You had, like, 3 kids and you just were just fucked up one night.
Yeah.
You don't even remember your dick being in the, you know what I mean? And that yeah. moment, your life is forever changed of a moment that you can't even remember. God, that's got to be fucking, fucking alcohol.
It's alcohol, but it's also, like, I don't know, just like, if I got cheated on, I would be hurt because of the lie, like yeah. you said, more than like the act. Like, I just don't.
No, I know, but it's like a lie that, like, you weren't even.
No, I understand yeah. you saying, like, it does, but yeah, and yeah. even after you come, you also go, why was that worth it?
yeah. It's who, like, was that guy? That was a werewolf.
You get drunk with horniness. Yeah. Like, yeah. even if you're not drunk, like, women need to understand that men, when they get really horny and they're presented with, like, fresh, wet puss that wants them, like, it's as if they're so drunk.
Yes.
It's almost
horny drunk, for sure.
Yeah, you do. You've done dumb things when you're horny, and you go, I just should have jerked off, and then I wouldn't have driven
45 miles.
Yes.
Fucked a cactus.
I thought that was the best advice, just jerk off. And I used to have a bit about it. Women, if you don't want your husband to cheat on you before he leaves, make him jerk off.
Yeah.
Or blow him. Like, guy with an empty bag of nuts is not going to cheat on you.
Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah.
There's no desire there. It's like you're Don't go out and eat. Okay, well then feed him a huge meal beforehand.
It's like going to rob a bank and you give a guy a gun and you go, hey, there's no bullets. And you're like, okay, well, I'm not going to.
Yeah, not, what am I going to pistol whip someone with my dick?
Yeah. What, with my soft dick? That won't even fucking leave a mark.
God, I am so hot. I cannot get comfortable.
Oh, really?
I'm just sweating constantly. I'm so sweaty. I'm just like, feel repulsive in my own skin. I'm PMSing. I'm about to start my period and I'm just sweaty. Let's take a break and come back. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Why do I care?
Why do I care?
Adam Sandler throws his daughter a star-studded bat mitzvah.
Oh, yeah. Spade was that, I think, because the other night we were texting or something, and he was like, yeah, I just left a kid's party. And he didn't say who. He's so cool that he didn't tell me that he was at this insanely awesome... I connected the dots after I saw this headline. I'm like, God damn it.
Yes, it was a candy-themed birthday party with Jennifer Aniston, Charlie Puth, Halsey, Taylor Lautner, and some TikTok stars.
How did Lautner get involved? Invited. Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Since he's been in the werewolf Twilight movie.
Yeah, that's fun. I mean, it is weird why Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston are friends. I know that Puth is in there. Like, I don't know how they got to know him.
Yeah, I'm maybe sure the daughter's obsessed. Fan. Yeah. I definitely, my bar mitzvah, I had two cutouts of baseball players. That's it.
What, really?
Yeah, Jose Canseco and Mark McGuire, Bash Brothers.
Wait, Mark McGuire?
No, but he was just cut like a cutout.
I know, but like a Cardinal?
No, this is when he was on the A's.
Ew, why?
My theme was baseball.
But why Mark McGuire? Did anyone even know him before St. Louis?
I just loved his forearms as a kid.
Was that the only one they had at the shop?
Actually, the more I think about it, I don't think the shop had a ton of options. I don't think it was like a fat head back then. I think you got what was in the shop.
Jose Canseco is such a great name.
It's a great name.
Mark McGuire's, they're both
steroid freaks that hit the ball about 700 feet. Did you have a theme for your bat mitzvah, Noah?
I did not have a bat mitzvah because I don't like being the center of attention. So I never did any of those things.
I don't understand you.
Barry
didn't go
Ventry.
To prom, didn't go to graduation, didn't have a bar mitzvah, didn't want any of it.
Whoa. Did it, like, birthday parties?
The truth is I was always really embarrassed of our apartment, and to think that I would be inviting kids from my class home mortified me. So I was
mortified.
Just like,
I would feel the same way.
No party.
I kind of felt that way with my bar mitzvah because it was all, I went to an all Christian school. They've never been to a bar mitzvah. Like, it was like going to the moon for them. They were like, I've never seen this many Jews. Y'all, there's more than two of you.
They were just hanging out with Jose and Mark.
Yeah. They're like, well, yeah, we'll just fucking hang out with the Christian guys. Yeah. Oh my God. I just remember being obsessed with one of the dancers at the bar mitzvah party. And just like following her everywhere.
One of the dancers?
Yeah, one of the older dancers.
What do you mean a dancer?
We had dancers at the party that like got the shit going with the DJ.
Oh, so she was like an older girl that was like hired as part of the...
I did that a lot, actually. Like there was a singer on a cruise when I was like 14 who like I was really into and like...
Yeah, they were like celebrities almost.
Yeah, I guess so. But boy, was I obsessed. I wasn't paying attention at all to the girls in my grade. And that was like my time to shine. I just made some
money. They were unattainable.
Who, the dancer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had no chance. And so there was no, you know, it's like pursuing a guy in a relationship or like having a celebrity crush. Like, you're never going to get them. There's no like, there's no risk.
No, we fucked.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was drunk though. So it wasn't pedophilia.
I one time with my sister, we were in Florida.
The kid was drunk. So it didn't count.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Anyways, 13. Go ahead. Yeah.
I was with my sister in Florida. My dad was at some like cable convention. We got to go to this amazing resort in Florida when I was a kid. And they had this amazing party at this resort. And I'll never forget, they hired mermaids to swim in the pool at night and just be like these mysterious mermaids. And my sister and I were so creeped out, but also fascinated by them because they weren't like talking. And they were just like, they were really swimming.
Like sirens kind of thing.
They were like... It was such a cool thing to do at this huge pool that, like, you know, one of those pools that had different, like, channels. And, like, so there were these mermaids were just, they weren't talking to each other. They weren't talking. They were, we did it. We almost were like, are they real mermaids? Like, there was something. And I just remember my sister and I being so creeped out yet intrigued. I mean, I am creeped out by anyone who's playing a character at a party. Well, a mascot.
Yes. Goofy.
I don't understand children. I understand children who like mascots less than I understand women who like redesigning closets. I feel less connected to children. I just couldn't understand why a child
would
want to walk up to someone who is clearly, first of all, not the cartoon you see on TV. This guy it's way bigger and it's made of cloth.
Yeah.
And it moves like a human. It's not like there's, it's, And it ruins the cartoons as a world where it's like, it's real. And then you take these characters out of the cart. It's just like, what is this?
Imagine
what's
being on the other end,
children
too.
Children who like that.
Oh my God. Can you imagine having to fucking be a mermaid and you're like either hungover or having a bad day?
I think that's a way to test if your child's an idiot. An IQ test for a child.
Oh, to see if it actually thinks it's
if
goofy?
If your child likes mascots, your child might be special. Like,
yeah, we'll probably make out with someone that thinks it's you.
No offense to your kid if they like... I mean, my sister and I were scared of those because we were cunning enough to know that these... I don't even think cunning's the right word.
Oh.
To know that they were men in there, even when we were little, and that even if we didn't know they were men, we knew there was something off about it. Like,
you were smarter than me. I wasn't afraid of the person inside it. I didn't think that far ahead.
No,
I just didn't like
just,
that. I
yes,
just didn't
what
like
I'm saying.
That.
Like, you just know it's off.
Yes.
There's something not right about it. It isn't Goofy. It isn't Tweety Bird. There, it's not... It's not Mickey. That's something else, and I don't like it. And it better stay the fuck away from me. You were watching The Dancer. I was watching Mickey the whole time, being like, I hope that guy does not come around here. I would get so scared.
I like that you have, though, an idea that there is a real Mickey, and he's just not there.
Yeah, a cartoon world is real in this another realm. I didn't think it was, like, real in, like,
no,
I could find it someday.
No, I know.
But
I know.
Stay in a cartoon world. I don't want you.
Yeah.
Walking around.
Yeah.
You
Ronald
ruined, and why are
Ronald
you so
McDonald
quiet?
Never was a fan.
Oh, God. Clowns are disgusting.
Clowns scare the shit out of me.
It's another thing of like, what are you? Are you a human or are you not?
Well, it.
Are you Dancer?
The movie It ruined it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it ruined it.
What about the character It in the Addams Family? I liked that guy. The big thing of hair. I don't know. I loved Addams Family.
Interesting.
Loved Addams.
I don't know. I never really
watched
it as a kid.
They didn't show up at parties, though. All right. Let's get to our Wednesday segment. It is time for
Andrew's Succinct Short Story Circle segment.
That guy sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I don't think I've told this story, and stop me if I'm wrong, but I think it could be fun considering I was really fucked up when it happened. But you know the story.
You cheated with Goofy?
Yeah, I sucked Goofy's cock while Pluto pegged me. But it was like,
do you know that Pluto's not a real, isn't a dog?
What is he?
No, that's just a Pluto isn't a planet joke.
Oh.
Didn't really work.
Well, he wasn't a dog for a year, and then we found out he was actually a dog, which is fucking wild.
But he wasn't a dog for a year?
Pluto, the planet, came back, I think.
No, it didn't.
Oh. I heard Pluto is just a guy, the planet, some guy inside there. That's how small
it is. Did you know
that
Jupiter is the next closest planet after Mars? You told me that.
I had to Google that. Well, Jupiter fucking, dude, something's going on over there.
What do you mean?
It's got a big old fucking hole.
It has like
circle
thing. Hurricanes?
Yeah, dude, that fucking planet's going off.
Yeah. We'll get there.
I mean, we go through each planet. I got a lot. Anyway, so the story, so I end up, I'm in New Orleans. I'm visiting back to college. I feel cool, but you don't. I'm just young enough where it's still cool to come back to college. You know what I mean? I think
you still have friends there?
Yeah, I still had friends there. There's an age where it stops feeling cool and you start feeling like
37?
A predator?
Yeah, it was last year when I fucking
no,
went back
it,
to
there. I think it's when everyone that was in college when you were at college is now graduated.
Yes.
4 years.
Yes. So I go back, I'm like 23. I never do ecstasy really. I've done it maybe twice in my life. I take it that night, and I'm hanging out with my two buddies. And earlier,
did you take it because you like you wanted? It was just a drug. There wasn't like, oh, I want to feel, I want to dance tonight, or you know.
I just wanted. I think my two friends took it, so it was peer pressure. And so they took it, and then I remember seeing the lead singer Sum 41. At a club before I even got to the bar and being like, I was really into Sum 41. I don't know what it was. I was too old probably
what
for
was
it.
Their one song?
I'm in too deep and I'm trying to... And they had...
I love that you don't even know the second
when
lyric.
When I went with the taco... Da, 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 da,
their most popular song, you're such a fan, you don't even know the
Fat
second
lip.
Lyric. To...
These are the kids that we knew back in high school.
No. Because I'm in too deep.
And I'm trying to sleep.
No, just try. I'm in too deep. I know this, and I don't even know Sum 41.
Something
and I'm
in
trying
my
to keep
what goes on in
all the thoughts
in my head. Instead, I'm going Psycho.
Hey, you were not a Sum 41 fan. I don't believe it.
I swear to God, I really was. There's an Indian guy that with the guitars.
How you wouldn't know their chorus of the most popular song, even one word of it, is absurd to me.
This is how drunk I was back then.
Go on.
So I'm hammered. I take the ecstasy. Didn't really kick in that hard, but I see the lead singer, and I'm like, I just noted that he was there, and I was like, wow, that's so cool. Then an hour later, I go to this bar called The Boot, which is the campus bar. I don't know if you had it at Kansas where it was like the main bar where everyone went. There were fights there. It was the Wild West. And if you were an outsider going into this bar, I didn't care who you were, you're going to get treated. If you think you're better than anyone in college, people are so insecure, they're going to want to fight you.
Right.
Or they're going to want to embarrass you.
Okay.
So Derek Whibley comes in, and he's like the number one, like, fuck everybody, I'm fucking... Remember he had like the whole...
He was like dating Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, he was flicking everyone off. He was like a punk.
Oh, he was. Okay.
So you're not going to punk us, you know, because we're fucking... Mm-hmm. We're the punks. Mm-hmm. You can't punk a punk. Like, that's literally the thought process. So I go up to him, and I'm like, dude, you're my favorite band. You're Sum 41. I fucking love you. You're like the Beatles for me. I love that one song, I'm In Too Deep. You finish it. And then and he's like, all right, come find me later and I'll give you tickets for the show. I go, all right, dude, that's awesome. So I'm back with glow sticks, whatever, fucking, I don't know, like just feeling the fucking whatever Bon Jovi music. And then my buddy went up to Derek Whibley and he was on cocaine. And again, like this is this. Oh, before this, they gave him a shot of piss. The bartender gave Sum 41 and all their friends piss shots.
Wait, who's piss?
The bartender's piss.
No way.
Yes.
What? Did they know?
They didn't order it.
That is so disgusting. That's
the kind of bar. I know. This is the kind of bar that we're talking about.
Is that legal? Because they were just like, these guys are famous. And yeah, they're famous. Think they
Let's
are.
Give them a shot of a cold piss.
Because they're so jealous because they're getting laid more than they are.
Yeah. And they're fucking Avril Lavigne and he's a fucking millionaire. Let's give him welcome to New Orleans.
Millionaire.
And he kind of liked the piss. I'm not going to lie.
Nah.
It seemed like he enjoyed it.
Millionaire? You saw him take the piss?
Yeah, he took the piss.
Okay.
I'm not taking the piss out of you.
Yeah.
He took it. He loved it.
He put the piss in him.
Pistol. So he takes the piss. My buddy goes up to him. He's like, holy shit, you're that band. You sing all the small things. And he didn't really know if he was fucking with
him. You did better with that song, by the way.
Because I didn't go in the second part. All the small things, true care, true things. I'll take one look. You're my best. So he goes, that's not my song.
Yeah.
And my buddy goes, oh, dude, my bad. My bad. And he leaves.
Was your buddy trying to fuck with him?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He's a piece of shit. They're all pieces of shit in this bar. Yeah. They were just trolling
these poor guys from Sum 41. Just because they were in a band.
Did they ask them if they wanted to be in a fraternity? Is it that guy?
It was probably that guy's friend.
Okay.
So he goes
back.
They're
all so jealous. This happens to men all the time, to famous men. Like, people are so rude to famous guys because they are so jealous they're getting more pussy than them.
That's all it was.
Yeah.
And it was just like, they want the story of, I'm the guy that took down the celebrity.
Yeah.
So he goes back to Derek Whibley and he goes, dude, you sing Stacy's Mom, Got It Going On, You're All I Want. And he goes, that's not my fucking song. He's catching on now that the guy's fucking with him. He picks his nose and flicks off my buddy. And my buddy picks his nose and flicks him off.
What is this? This King Lear?
Yeah, it's like an old, like...
like a Shakespearean, like, you know, they used to, like... like, I bite my tongue at you, or I bite my, thumb.
Yeah, that's what exactly...
like one of those
And I'm
things.
Watching it on Ecstasy, and I'm just like, what is going... like, how is this real life, you know?
My God.
And then Derek Whibley takes his drink and threw it in my friend Joe's face.
Was this all inside?
All inside.
At a really, like, loud, raucous rowdy, bar. Like, are girls trying to get around this guy because he's famous? Or, like,
this bar is so out of control that, like, you don't really know what's really... like,
how did you even know Sum 40? Like, you recognized the guy because you were such a fan?
Mm-hmm. And he had really spiky hair.
Did you know they were in town?
Well, I saw him earlier in the night.
Oh, that's right. But, like, earlier in the night, did you know they were in town? Or were you just like, holy shit, that's Derek?
Yeah, holy shit, that's Derek Whibley, dude. He's got a leather jacket on and he fucks Avril Lavigne kind of thing.
Did you get a leather jacket later that week?
I took his. So then the fight didn't start inside the bar. They both get kicked out of the bar. You have Derek Whibley and, like, maybe 20 random people that want to fight for – you know, a lot of people stick up for a celebrity just because he's a celebrity, you know? And they all have, like, chain wallets. Like, that's how you know they're the Sum 41. And then you have all these frat guys that are all pieces of shit wanting to fight these 20, like, kind of... And I would say they were more nerdy, you know?
Yeah.
And they're about to fight, and it's, like, fucking, like, insane. Like testosterone, like, crazy. And I'm, like, I get this idea that I'm going to solve... I'm going to... On ecstasy.
You're gonna broker peace.
I'm gonna freaking Buddha this thing. I'm gonna Dalai Lama it. And I get in the middle and it's like, no, dude, this is like one of my favorite bands. I don't think we should fight Joe. They're good guys. And like, I don't know if they thought I was being sarcastic because I was so like nice and like,
you were tweaking.
I think they're just done being fucked with.
Yeah. So you're telling your friends back off them.
I'm telling everyone back off. This is not the fight you want. These are good guys that play. They have that one song that I kind of know. And Joe's like, whatever. So then the guy next to fucking Derek Whibley, also in a leather jacket, pushes me. And I was on ecstasy. I was like, oh, yeah, fuck me. You know,
no, yeah, it felt
I
was, good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why don't you fucking slap me with your cock? So, no, so he hits me. And I didn't know how to respond. All I did, I threw him. Like
a little kid.
This guy must have been 115 pounds. So the leather jacket, the guy flew, I'm not kidding, like 7 feet. Like there was a time where he was in the air and it was quiet. You know what I mean? Yes. Like there was like, it was all slow mo. Yeah, yeah. It was like a tumbleweed went by. And then he hits his head on the car and he's knocked out. And everyone, it's just quiet. Like you could hear a pin drop, literally. And I just turn to Derek Whibley and I go, so you think I could still get tickets for tomorrow's show?
Right after this happened.
Right after. And I'm not kidding. The
I don't
timing,
understand why that would happen.
Well, he told me to come find him later to get tickets for the show.
But so you look over at the friend you just threw, his head on the sidewalk bleeding, and then you just
he
turn
wasn't
back
bleeding,
and go,
but he was knocked
did
out.
You realize it was funny to do that?
Yes.
Okay. So you were being funny.
I was being funny, but I was also like I really wanted to be his friend. Like, I still, like, because maybe I was on ecstasy. Like, I still wanted him to like
even
me.
Though that was his friend you just threw.
Yes.
Yes.
But he hit me first. So I thought Derek would have seen that and been like,
been
you know
like,
what?
You know what? You're a better friend to me than this guy.
You I know like what? You got backstage. Yeah, yeah. What if he was like, backstage, man?
Do you want to share my leather jacket? He takes it off and he just puts it on you and you feel like you're part of the...
I'm part of, like, the greasers now?
Yes, yeah, so I was thinking about...
Anyway, so final thought, I guess. I keep saying
final
it.
Thought.
He goes, no, dude, you killed my friend.
That's you what he killed
said
my to, friend.
Or like he said, you hurt my friend or something. And I was like, yeah, sorry about that. And then a fight just breaks out and the brawl breaks out, like full on brawl. And all these like Sum 41 guys are getting beat up. Like it's bad. Like people are getting knocked out. Like straight out Wild West shit.
And where are you?
I'm not fighting. I'm at that point.
You're
I really didn't want
to
push
for your tickets to come.
I'm already at the stadium. I'm talking to the security guy. Like, dude, the show's not for 3 days. Like, no, but I know.
Why
they're...
did they get into town so early?
No,
to hang out.
I guess it was the day before. You hang out in New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah.
So I end up. So then Derek Whibley runs away, and if you've seen Braveheart, you know, like the king that gets away from and sees all. The people fighting for him die, and he's like,
safe,
yeah,
and cowardly,
and he's like 300, maybe like 100 yards away, which would be 300 feet. So he's like, and he's flicking us all off with the guy that I pushed, and he's flicking us off.
Oh, that guy didn't die.
The guy, no, I hope not. Maybe later from natural causes.
Yeah.
So he's flicking us all off. And then, for some reason, my ego now is hurt because
you're getting flicked off, and you didn't get his friendship.
Yeah, I didn't get his friendship. It's not about the ticket of the show; it's about him liking me. And so I run towards him, but even on ecstasy, I'm slower than my two friends that ran past me and just started fighting the one guy that I already like pushed.
Where are they? I picture them up on like a.
A on
ridge.
A hill.
Yeah. Yeah, like yeah. Where are they though?
They're actually just near the library. So they start fighting And my buddy starts beating up Derek Whibley. Now he's getting, he's like, I just remember him going, oh, dude, no, dude, no, dude.
Your friend or Derek?
No, Derek.
Oh, shit.
Got his ass whooped.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he? Was he able to perform the next night?
I never looked into it. You think
really? What? You did you ever look at, like, maybe he's told this story before somewhere or?
So, yeah. So I found the, so the next day, Page Six wrote an article because my friend called it in. And it said, Sum 41 gets taste of Southern discomfort. And yeah, good. It's so good. It's so good.
We showed them. Don't trust come me, down I'm not here, bragging. Canadian punkers.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, you can find, it's hard to find the story for some reason. Like, yeah. Under that name.
Because it was written in 1983 before the internet.
It was written with a feather pen.
It's so funny, like, stuff. When you read articles from like 1992 online, you're like, oh, how did they digitize this? Like, there is just, things get buried.
Yeah. So we couldn't find that. I can't find that art. I'm sure someone could probably find it. But there's another article where he talks about how these frat guys fought him in New Orleans.
Oh, nice.
Oh, there's, so I looked online in the news. Sum 41 cancels tour while Derek Whibley recovers from attack. But this happened in a bar in Japan in 2010. So I guess this is something that they do.
So maybe I was in Japan.
Yeah.
Could I have been in? That's how fucked
up I was. I think
you're
turning Japanese.
Yeah, maybe.
What's the next lyric?
Kyoto?
I think you're turning Japanese. You never heard that song? I think I'm turning Japanese. I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so. You've never heard that song?
Maybe I didn't know.
No, have you ever heard?
I don't think I
knew. Yes, it's about masturbating, right?
Really?
Well, what's the chorus?
Yeah, that's
I'm turning Japanese. I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so.
And then what's more? Keep going.
I'm turning Japanese. I think I'm turning Japanese. I really think so.
That's basically it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Whoa.
What year?
This is like it's an 80s song, but it's like was played so much. It's like such a, just like a campy song that people are like, they play a lot in movies. Like It's really well known. That reminds me of my joke where it's like anytime the song Save Tonight. I think it's funny to just go, what is this song? I never heard of this. And people go, no. And you go, no, I've never heard of it.
Yeah. But just I really never heard that one.
I cannot believe that has missed you.
I might have heard
really good
it, but
one.
I didn't know he was saying Japanese. Does that make sense? If
that doesn't ring a bell to you, because I think I'm even on key on that.
Can I ask a question? Did you ever
look at Marianne? Is she dying? Marianne, what's going on with you? Is your tail a wagon? Noah. Look at her little tail going. You are cute as hell.
Did you ever see a celebrity or remember meeting a celebrity before you got into comedy?
See one every day in the mirror. Before I got into comedy? Question. Maybe we'll talk about it on the next episode. The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Guys, do not be cut. And Jack Lemmon.
Frost.
I was going to do Frost.
Really?
So wild. This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta
right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the 2nd
annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s,
she looked like $1 million,
scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.